pray, but I'm just so great. I'm grateful. I'm overwhelmed with gratefulness for God and our church and our amazing people. I was out in the lobby and I was just looking around at we have amazing people in our church. I'm so grateful, and I love our church. I love our people, and that was an awesome golf clap. That's fantastic. But no, it's great. I love our people. So, all right, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hit record, and we're going to go. So, Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, God, that your word, the entrance of your word gives life, God. We thank you, Father, God, that for your word. And God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, not just what somebody says, but God, what your spirit is wanting to say to us this morning. And God, I pray that you would help us to become doers of the word and not just hearers only. We honor you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. So Merry and Bright. We started this last week. We started a series called Merry and Bright. And we talked about that Merry and Bright is like just one of those things that people, they put everywhere, right? T-shirts, mugs. And it was Merry and Bright was penned in the song White Christmas by Irving. So, yeah. So, I knew him well. He was a great guy. I didn't know him well. But he's penned that line, and I'm sure he didn't really have, like, you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, you know, or the life. Or that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm sure he didn't really have that in mind. But we're just going to redeem that this morning. We're just going to make it something. We're going to see that there is a lot of merry and bright in Christmas, right? And so this morning, we're going to do a little bit of review, but I want to talk about this morning in Merry and Bright in this series, but I'm going to talk about this morning living in the brightness this morning. I want to talk about living in the brightness. But last week, we talked about my love for Christmas and my love for Christmas decorations. I'm all about it. And I talked about the journey of going from the Mr. Anti when I became a Christian, becoming the anti. I don't like Christmas because it's pagan. I don't like Christmas because it's this, and it's so commercialized, and it's Santa, and it's like really close to Satan, and there was a lot of jokes this week about that. And we talked about that last week, and then the Lord spoke to me while I was in a mall, and I was shopping, and I was having one of those moments, and I felt the Lord just say, why can't you just celebrate? Why can't you just use all the decor to help celebrate the birth of my son? And I went, we can do that. We can do that. So I did. So I make it a habit, not every time. Let me just say, there's flaw. I have flaws. There are times where I am not merry and bright, like when I'm shopping. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Because somebody jumped in front of me yesterday while I was in line, and I wasn't very merry and bright. I was sad and dark, yes. Thanks, Julie. Thanks for exposing me. But we can use the stars that we see at Christmas time to remind us of the star that was over Bethlehem. We can use the songs in the stores. They go, oh wow, they're actually singing about Jesus at Kohl's. That's amazing. We can do that, right? You can enter in and remind you, like, allow this season to remind you of what this means to you, right? Let's not be angry. Let's be gracious, right? And insightful and introspect, right, of what God has done in us, and let the greenery remind us of the life of Jesus, that Jesus came to bring life. And so when you see the beautiful decorations and so we talked about, you know, your Christmas life. We showed Christmas lights last week. We showed how we showed the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Maybe that's what your Christmas tree looked like. Like, I remember when we were just married, we were broke. We actually used a palm tree because we couldn't afford a Christmas tree, because we were broke. Maybe that's your Christmas tree. Or maybe you woke up, we talked about this, maybe you woke up and your Christmas looked a little something like this. And your cat was, you know, just, yeah. My cat would not be like this. My cat would be like, what? I knocked a tree over. What? You know, that would be like what my cat would be like. Yeah, actually, we decided that we think my cat is like, he is like the Dark Lord of the Sith. That's kind of his mindset he has whenever he looks around at things, you know. So we're, He is a big baby, but he does have that look like, I will destroy you. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. So Star Wars, it's Star Wars this week. So either way, whatever your Christmas decorations look like, you know, help them and let it help you remind you of the goodness of Christmas and what Christmas means as a believer. In Isaiah, we read the scripture last week. It's kind of the scripture that we're using. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Though on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And you have enlarged their nation. You have increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. He talks about that when the light comes, they'll be rejoicing, merry and bright. Amen. So when the light comes, it will bring forth, it will break the power of darkness. And so we talked about that light, and that we talk about this scripture that was written 700 years before the birth of Jesus, right? We talk about the prophetic word about Jesus coming, about Christmas, is that Jesus would come and he would break the power of darkness over the land, right? And that darkness would release change. It goes on down a little bit further. It talks about releasing the change of bondage. And so that's what happened when Jesus came, and when the little baby came to earth, it was the day of darkness was over. And Jesus came to bring the light. And we talked about this in John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was, let me read it from memory. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus. And He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. And without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was the life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And we talked about that word, overcome it. That word to overcome means to do something. It basically is the idea of it can't great, like some of your translations say, lay hold of it or grasp it. And the idea of that darkness cannot grasp or hold on to light. It can't wrap around and control that light. So it overcomes the darkness. Always, right? And so we talked about the fact that we said last week we did a little demonstration with a flashlight and all that stuff. We asked them to turn on the darkness. Well, you don't turn on darkness, right? There's not a darkness switch that you turn on, right? No, you turn on the light, and the light dispels the darkness. And so we talk about how that light comes and invades our life and dispels darkness. So the question is, how much light are we living in? And we talked about how I was standing in the shade one day. It was kind of a colder day. And I was standing in the shade, and it was really cold. And then I stepped like 2 feet over into the sun, and all of a sudden, I felt the warmth of the sun. I felt everything changed. Like I could feel, it felt so much better than now I was standing in the warm. I wasn't shivering like I was before, but I was standing in the warmth of the sun. And it was just a step over. And so we said last week, you have to learn to position yourself in the light. And how do you position yourself makes all the difference. If you live in the light or if you're living in darkness. Right? Amen? So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Is we're going to talk about the subject, living in the brightness. Say, I want to live in the brightness. Amen. It'll make you merry. That's the truth. Psalms 119. So how do you live in the brightness? Psalms 119 and verse 130. It says, the unfolding of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We're told, like we talk about unfolding. I say the word unfolding, or another translation said the entrance of it. The word picture is like a door, when that door opens, right? And you, like if a room is dark, a door opens and the light comes in, right? The entrance of your word brings light. The opening of the door brings light, right? So the opening of the word, the unfolding of the word brings light, right? So the idea is that when we allow God's word to come in, it brings light. It brings the light. And we talked about last week, with that light becomes the life of God. There's correlation of those two words, light and life, right? And so when the entrance of their word comes, it brings light, but it also brings the life of God in you. So what do we have to be? So your first way, how do I live in the brightness? How do I live my life in the brightness? I'm going to have to be a person of the word of God. I have to be a person of the word of God. I have to be a person who lives with God's revelation, right? The light, when you hear like the light came on, ding, the light came on. That's revelation, right? It's really what we're talking about. We're talking about like all of a sudden when you're having that conversation with your spouse and all of a sudden they make that thing and you go, oh, the light did. Yeah, that's revelation, right? And so when you read the word, it's not just the reading and understanding of the technicalities of the word. It's the entrance of the revelation of the word of God into your life. Well, that let me just say, I'm going to be all over the place. Just pray for your pastor this morning. When you enter, listen, it's not just your daily Bible reading. It's the entrance of the revelation of God's word into your life in that moment as you receive the word of God. Right? We should be people of the word. People of the word. I don't want to give the statistics, but the statistics are basically of the average Christian, we read about 3 or 4 words a day of our word as believers. The statistics are awful. No wonder we don't live in the life. Because listen, when you live in the light of God's word, when you listen to the word of God, when you open up your Bible and you read it, and you not only just read it for your intellect, but you read it and you say, Holy Spirit, breathe on this morning. Or breathe on this afternoon. Or breathe, you can do it anytime you want, by the way. You breathe on this tonight before I go to bed. Like, breathe on this word and let it become revelation. I am not interested in just growing. I am interested in growing in my revelation, my understanding of the word and technicalities. Yes. But I am more interested in the word of God becoming life to me and transforming me. We don't need, oh my goodness. We don't need a bunch of more opinions. What does the word say? Yeah. Let the word transform you and don't try to transform the word. Let the word of God enter into your life. His entrance of his word gives light, gives revelation. And when revelation comes, it goes from here to here and you go, now I got it. When all of a sudden you read the word and it says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness. Like meaning, there is no more any sense of guilt anymore. Guilt does not have to be in the language of a believer because you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been made that. You didn't do it on your own. You've been made that. And so once that, we can know that all day up here. But when that drops from here to here, you know how dangerous you become to our enemy? Because now you know. What can you do to me? The greater one lives on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit in power lives on the inside of me. What can man, if God be for me, who can be against me? Like if all of a sudden that drops from just your head down to your heart. What did John Wesley? John Wesley called it, he called it, what's the term he used? I forgot. But it's just basically, he used a really good term and I can't remember it. But it's basically the idea that we have head knowledge and not heart knowledge. We have just knowledge of the word and not allow that revelation. And I'm a big fan. I just got through doing it, reading through your Bible in a year or reading through your Bible in total. Every believer should have read. We not worry about it. At some point in your walk, you've needed to read your Bible all the way through. But I would say this as a caveat to that. If you're reading your Bible just to get through your chapter a day or your verse a day or you're just, I did it and check, then you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing the revelation power that can come when you slowly read the Word of God and allow the Word of God to enter into your life and bring life to you. and bring revelation to you. And so all of a sudden, you ever been reading your word? And people say this all the time. Man, those words just jumped out of the page. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. And all of a sudden, it's just not something that you, it just popped out. It's something that you go, I'm going to think about this the rest of the day. And all of a sudden, you ponder it. And you meditate on that word, on that revelation. It becomes life to you. When light comes, it brings revelation. I need the revelation. If we want to live in the brightness, we have to be people of the Word. But then then Jesus says this really unfortunate thing in Matthew chapter 7. He says this. He says, therefore, and then he adds this to the entrance of the Word. Therefore, whoever hears the word of mine and puts it into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and great was that crash. I hear all the time in Christendom of people talking about, oh, I built my house on the rock, and that's Jesus. That is really ethereal. He'd say, I built my house on the rock. I am a Christian. I have built my house on the rock. That's not what this scripture says. There is what we call cause and effect, causation, if you will, in the Bible. If you do this, then there's this. If this, then this. If you do computer programming, if this, then this. It's old basic, if you remember basic programming, right? If this, then this. It's causation. It's in the Bible, right? This scripture does not say that you ethereally build your house on your faith. The Bible says this. Jesus says this. That if anyone hears my words and puts them into practice. Anyone who hears my word and puts them into practice. See, we can hear the word all day. But you won't live in the brightness of that word until that is a part of your everyday life, until that's what you do, that's how you handle your situations because of the word. If you hear these words, like you talk about your love walk, you talk about your generosity, living in generosity. You talk about anything that Jesus is talking about. Anyway, if you hear these words of mine, right? And you put them into practice. Now since I'm already standing on your feet, let me just stand a little bit longer. What about this? Like when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. This is not like optional. This is a command from the Word of God that husbands, we are supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It's a command that the Bible says. We're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And when you do, you can build your house on a rock. When you don't expect your house to be built on a rock because you're a Christian, because your rock is Jesus. Amen? Or wives. Scripture says, see to it that you respect your husband. Do you respect your husband? Do you show him respect? Now, I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just looking. Matter of fact, I'm not going to look at anybody else the rest of this message. The Word of God is a lot kinder to me right now than some of the way y'all are looking at me. It demands, like when the Bible gives you an instruction, it demands an action. And when you live in that action, right? When you live in that action, you can stand confidently that you're standing on the rock. Why? Not just because you heard the word, it's because you put it into practice, like Jesus says. We live the word. When the Bible instructs us to pray and live unstained from the culture of our world, and it demands action. Like when God asks us to pray, James even goes so far as says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. And then when you ask amiss. Or you ask for your own gain. Or you ask for your improper motives, right? Or you pray to be seen by other people, Jesus would say. Right? I wrote this. You can see this in my notes back there in the tech team. This is your hard truth warning. Right? I got it in big, bold letters in my... Hard truth warning. Living in the brightness of Jesus means hearing and doing the Word of God. Not just hearing. It means hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. Everybody say hearing?
Hearing.
And doing.
And doing.
Living in the brightness. I want to stand and I can look. I can change my position from living in darkness and I can move over and stand. I can make that choice myself to live in the brightness. Or I can live in the shade and be a little chilly. Like it's our choice. It's called causation. Right? If this, then this. When we follow Jesus and we follow His Word, we'll live in the brightness. And this is what God's called us to in 1 Peter 2. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." I did about 3 different translations as I read that. But darkness, you have been called out of darkness into His light. John 8 said this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Like this is the promise to every believer. This is the promise to every believer that if we walk in His Word, we will live in His brightness. Say, if I walk in His Word, I'll live in His brightness. And then the second way that we can live in His brightness, we can live a life in the brightness, we can position ourselves in His presence. You put these two together. This morning I have two, whatever. I'm living in the Word and live in His presence. You want to live in the brightness? Live in His Word and live in His presence. There is a way. I don't know where your denominational background is, but there is a way to live in the presence of God. Live in the presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote a book called Living in the Presence, I believe is something to that. Practicing the presence of God. There's a way that you can live in his presence. But again, it's another causation. James 4 says this, in verse 6, this, He gives us more grace. That's why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to... There is a lot of causation, actually, in that scripture. No pride, more grace, or more favor, as that translation says. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, then the effect happens of the devil will flee, right? That's a whole other teaching. And then this, come near to God, and He will come near to you. And then it says in chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, but he who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." If I want to live in the brightness, I have to become a person that seeks God. I have to be a person that seeks after God. I'm not just waiting on some presence to come on me. I am earnestly seeking after God. I am using my efforts to seek my God and pray and ask Him for His presence on my life, right? I'm seeking after Him. It's more important than really anything, because if the presence of God is good in my life and God is working in me and we're having communication, I'm communing with Him, let me tell you something. It is a lot easier to be a husband that loves his wife as Christ loves the church. Unless I'm trying to strangle, I'm going to love that woman as Jesus loved the church and gave His life for her. I'm going to muscle it out, man. I'm going to make this thing happen. But let me tell you something, that's not the way it happens. You have the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit helps us. Do you understand God's goal is to work in and through us to do His will? The Holy Spirit works in us to accomplish His will. The Holy Spirit, if we yield to the Holy Spirit, He will help you be a better husband. He will help you be a better wife. He will help you be a better mom or father. It'll help you be a better teenager. It'll help you be a better employee or whatever that thing is. It'll help you live out what we talked about a few weeks ago. It'll help you live out, like the goal of the Holy Spirit is burning to live out the kingdom in your life. The gospel of the kingdom in your life, where goodness reigns and love reigns. But it doesn't happen because I'm going to muscle this thing out. No, you do it because, God, I'm yielded to your presence. I'm yielded to your spirit. You're like, how in the world do you get there? I'm so glad you asked. You guys always ask the best questions. Our vision, listen, our vision of this church is that we want to help you draw you to God, closer to God. Where are you at on your journey with God? Our heart here is we want to get you closer. There's always closer. There's closer for me. Our vision is that we want to help you get closer to God. Actually, the truth is, we can't even do that. But what we can do is provide moments where you can draw near to God. That's all we can do. That's all a church can ever do, is help you and put you in places where you can draw near to God. So what do? Through God-empowered worship. We want God-empowered worship in our churches, in our church. Brian and the band, they work really hard to have worship. We give you moments where you can connect with God, because through God-empowered preaching, we want to do that. Through home groups, through Bible studies, through relationships, we're encouraging each other to provide moments that you can have encounters or you can draw near to God. But all we can do is give that moment. It's up to us to draw near. But you can draw near in worship and song, focusing on Him. Scripture says in Ephesians 5, speaking to Him in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your own heart to God, on your own. You don't need to, the last thing Brian needs to do is follow you around all day and go, oh, I got your worship song right here. It sounds right on the tip of my tongue. I'm just going to play this and you're just going to, follow me, come on, Come on, Mark. Just sing with me. I know you're in your office right now.
You don't
want to
hear that.
Yeah, he's like, you don't want to hear that. But come on, Mark. Come on, just go. Lift up your hands. Would you like to? You know, like, Brian, would you do that? Like, can we just, just follow Mark around. He needs a worship leader. No, you can do it on your own. I mean, that's why God made Spotify. Amen? Like, come on. God created Spotify for your worship playlist. It's amazing how God works. I just want to be a little prideful here a minute, and I got my Spotify list for my favorite songs, and for all year, it tells on you. It tells on you what you listen to all year long. And just for the record, like September from Earth, Wind, and Fire was not on my top thing. It was actually a lot of worship stuff. So we did good last year, amen? Earth, Wind, and Fire was way down, but it was on there. Let me say that. Yeah, so it was no. Three Dog Night was not on the playlist this year. I have terrible memories of that song being slapped in the mouth. Singing and making melody in your own heart. You can do it at any moment, at any time you want. Draw near to God. So I would challenge you, like, take moments of worship. Take moments of times with Him. Just you and Him. Just you and Him. And I'll be honest, my own, the times, I've had so much powerful times alone with God. And nobody can take, listen, you want something where the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away? Have a moment with God by yourself where God Himself shows up and it's undeniable and it messes you up forever. You go, I don't care about the six-day creation and all the arguments around there. There was a time I encountered God in my bedroom all by myself. And it changed me forever. Rather than just, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. No, but we need to encounter Him. But you do that because you're intentional on seeking after God. You do it because you do things on purpose to allow, give moments of time where God's presence can come. And one way is worship. Another way is even simpler than that. Draw near to God just by acknowledging God in the moment. In that moment. I've had so many experiences when I've just had to acknowledge God in that moment. When I'm dealing with like situations, invite God into those moments. And God, invite God's presence in those moments. When I'm interacting with my wife, when I'm dealing with my children, when I'm out and about, when I'm counseling. You guys don't even know, like, dude, you're so full of wisdom. No, I'm just desperate to hear from God. I'm not even kidding. I'm just desperate to hear from God. I need to hear what God's speaking to me in this moment. Because I just won't want to, I am not the, let me just spit out some Christianese and God bless you and pat you on the head and go. No, I need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His voice. We need His life in our life. And you can live in the presence. You can live in the brightness of His presence because we choose to. It's wonderful. You can learn the art of walking in His presence at all times. As you go, acknowledge God. That's why, like, I love things. I need things to help me to remember. I need, like, I need to see that sign. The other day I was in the truck and on my job, and this guy was walking down the road, and he had a big, huge sign that said, "Give Jesus a call," and like it was so radical and so crazy, and I'm sure he got like all kind of stuff said about him and everything. But you know what? I needed that in that moment. I was like, dude, I gave him the big thumbs up. I was like, awesome. And then when I gave him the thumbs up, he flipped the sign around. He goes, "Hey, dude, Jesus loves you." That's what it said on the other side of the sign. I was like, that guy's awesome. You know, some may call him a radical. I think he's just a follower of Jesus. And you know what? Like that moment, it kind of arrested my thought in that moment because I was worried about some stuff. And it arrested me in that moment. And I went, oh, God, you're so good. And so what did I do? I didn't just go acknowledge that little sign. I go, no. I stopped. Watch this. Here's the key. I stopped and I said, okay, God, I invite you into this moment. I invite you into this worry. I invite you into this stuff. I know you're trying to get to me. So God, I just stop. And I was still driving. I was still aware of my surroundings. Right? I didn't go into a weird trance. I said, God, I just surrender this to you. God, I invite your presence into this area. And I'm telling you, that peace of God came. It came and I went, oh God, I can trust you. I just trust you. I'm just choose not to worry. God, you're right. I choose to trust it. I give it all over to you. And it happened in a moment while I was driving a big old truck. But God met me in that moment because I turned my heart towards Him in the moment. You can learn to walk in the awareness of God. And there, let me tell you something, the world is full of distractions. So you really have to work on this, I'll be honest. You have to press through all the loudness and give yourself time. And then there's this one. You can draw near to God in your own quiet time. Our society and our business lives don't really lead itself to quiet time. Matter of fact, some of you, and just quiet makes you nervous. We have to fight for this. In a culture where at every moment you have an opportunity to flood your mind with stuff and things and gadgets and people and schedules and all of that. I'll name some things until it sticks to you, right? But we have all this stuff that it drives for our attention. This is not something, as a believer in our culture, let me just tell you, as a believer in this culture, you have to fight for your quiet time. You have to fight for moments with God, time with God. You're like, what is that, like an hour? If you're doing zero, no, don't do an hour, because you're setting yourself up for failure. Can you do 5 minutes of quiet, just you and Him? And I'm not even talking about reading your Bible. That's separate, right? I'm talking about you and Him and quiet. You go, well, God never speaks to you. Do we give Him moments? Do we give Him space? Does God have to arrest your attention because some big radical Christian holds up a sign on the side of the road? Right? If I want to live in the brightness, listen, there is a world where you can live in God's presence. There's a world where you can live in His peace, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit helps you to live the life that He's called you to live. And the strain of, I've got to live this life. The strain of, I've got to fight this addiction. No, the strain of, I've got to live my life as Christ. I've got to respect my husband. All this strain and all this stuff can be, I'm telling you, when the light comes in, darkness flees. And God shows up on you and empowers you to do the very thing that God's called you to do. It's because you live in the brightness of God. So let me just say, when the worship team comes in and strikes the first chord, I challenge you to be in here. Because you know what? I need God's presence. I need more of Him. I need God. I don't even care if I don't even know this song. I need God. I need you more than I need anything else. Step in. Let me tell you. Let me encourage you. If you haven't stepped in, step in. Step in. Step in. Last scripture. It's my favorite. If you've heard me preach at Christmas before, I don't do Christmas without this scripture. In 1 John 3:8, it says this. It says, this reason. You know what the reason of the season is? The reason Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's work. He says, actually in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power and went about doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil because God was with him, because Jesus lived in the brightness of the light, right? He spent time with his Father. He lived, he understood the Word. He lived in the kingdom. He went about and dispelled darkness because he's the light. To destroy, listen to this, to destroy means to loose and let go. He came to loose the power of the devil over your life and over my life. And He gives us the power of God's Word and God's presence to walk in the light as He is in the light. And when the light comes, life comes. And we can live in the brightness and we can live free from the power of the devil. We can have all of the AA you want. You can have all the counseling you want. But until you have the power of the living God and the power of the living Holy Spirit that lives in you and is big in you, and you decide to live in that brightness, you'll be. When you do that, you'll see things change and start falling off of you. When you know, now all of a sudden, it's not just, I think that I'm the righteousness of God. No, I know I'm the righteousness of God. And if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know what? All this sin has to go out of my life in Jesus' name. I know who I am in Jesus. But it becomes this causation. If this, then this. If you believe on the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. And if you hear and you don't believe, you'll live eternity away from God. The Bible is full of cause and effect. God's not going to force himself on anybody. Just ask the children of Israel. So it's up to us. I got this song. I got a song in my head. I'm not going to do this because it's a really tough song. But that song, it's actually a Charlie Peacock wrote the song, and DC Talk made it famous. He says, I want to live in the light. I want to live in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in heaven. Oh, Lord, be my guide and be my salvation. All I want is to be in the light. Oh, oh. All I want is to be in the light. Worship team, come on up. I'm not going to make you play that song. Unless you just happen to have it on top of your head. Let me tell you, there's so much freedom. There's so much freedom. There's more freedom than we even know. Continual strive to live more and more in the light. Amen? Let's all stand together. Merry and bright.